Revelation chapter 21. I'm just going to read a few verses here. First verses 1 and 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and there was no sea anymore. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It was prepared like a bride, dressed for her husband. Now verses 10 through 21. Nope, 10 and 11, excuse me. Verses 10 and 11. And the angel carried me away by the Spirit to a very large and high mountain. He showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It was shining with the glory of God and was bright like an expensive jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. And now 17 through 21. The angel also measured the wall. It was 144 cubits high by human measurements, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was made of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation stones of the city walls were decorated with every kind of jewel. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth was emerald, the fifth with onyx, the sixth with carnelian, the seventh was chrysolite, and the eighth was beryl, the ninth was topaz, the tenth was chrysoprase, the 11th was jacinth, and the 12th was amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate having been made from a single pearl. And the street was made of pure gold, as clear as glass. The first time I read that, I remembered, I thought, how big did that oyster have to be? I'm going to speak about heaven this evening. I don't know about you, but heaven is one of those places I'd like to visit one day. You want to move in. It's interesting. I looked it up in the concordance. The word heaven appears 582 times in the Bible. 327 of those are the Old Testament, 255 in the New. At least in the concordance I used. If a person believes and respects the teaching of the Bible, then he believes in heaven. Any preaching or system of teaching that denies heaven does not respect the Bible. And it reduces man to the level of a beast of the earth or bird of the heavens. Where is heaven? Charlie, where is it?
Up.
Now, how do you know heaven is up?
It's out there away from Earth.
It's out there away from Earth. By Mars? By Jupiter? Well, let me start off by saying that heaven is a real place. Willie, do you believe that Apopka, Florida is a real place? Yes. Do you believe heaven is a real place? I do too. As real as Apopka, Florida is, I believe that heaven is exactly as real. It is not a fantasy place. Unfortunately, Stefan, where Harry Potter lives is not a real place. There is no Hogwarts. Or there is no Third Earth? A lot of those fantasy stories. These places are non-existent. But heaven is real. Very real. In John 14, 1 and 3, Jesus, and apparently Jesus believed in heaven because listen to what he says. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I would not tell you this if it were not true. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me so that you will be where I am. Now, sometimes I watch these advertisements on television. Maybe I shouldn't. But I love it. They say, and if it weren't true, we couldn't tell this on television. Well, let me tell you something. When Jesus says it's true, then you can bank on it. I trust Jesus where I don't trust commercials on television. I was also going to say, and I don't trust politicians, but I'm not going to say that. Peter spoke of our inheritance in heaven. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now we hope for the blessings God has for His children. And here's the important part. These blessings, which cannot be destroyed or spoiled or lose their beauty, are kept in heaven for you. Peter believed in heaven. We got Jesus who believes. We have Peter who believes. Where is our inheritance? We heard it is in heaven. Despite the fact that we can't see this inheritance, of course, I can't see what I've got in the bank either. I have to trust the bank that they really do have it there for me. But we cannot see this inheritance. But even though we cannot touch it or smell it or see it, it is real. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. Now, JC, is our money safe in banks? Questionable. Let me put it this way. Has there ever been a bank that went out of business? Oh, yes. And what do you think happened to all those people who had money in it? You know, when I used to think, oh, my money's safe. It's guaranteed to $100,000. But what if you have $120,000? You know, you lose. The Bible indicates that there are at least three heavens. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:2. He said, I know a man in Christ who was taken up to the third heaven 14 years ago. I do not know whether the man was in his body or out of his body, but God knows. Now, Paul seems to think there's at least three heavens, and he was taken to the third one. The first heaven mentioned in the Bible is basically our atmosphere. When we read about the birds, where do they fly? In the heavens. Now, I don't know if there is birds in the third heaven flying around, but I know there's no birds in that second heaven, which we're going to look at, being outer space. Because there's also spoke of outer space where the sun, the moon, and the stars reside. So we also know that the third heaven isn't there either. Because the heavens tell the glory of God, and the skies announce what His hands have made. I wish I would have taken better notes and had kept some of the material that I had. When I was in Germany, I attended a youth event over Easter. They had one every Easter. And one of the speakers was a German teacher who specialized in science, and one of his favorites was astronomy. And he was showing me pictures that were taken from up in space and from satellites. I think Hubble was one of those pictures. And he showed something that astronomers had called the finger of God. That's interesting. When astronomers named something the finger of God, and it was amazing, because one of the things he says, and he was showing through these pictures, and what we know of the star system, Earth. Believe it or not, our solar system appears to be the center of the known universe, with all these different star systems pointing this direction. And that's how the name Finger of God came about being, because they seem to be pointing back towards earth. Now, if all that be true in the end, I don't know. But I found that very interesting. And when we moved here, I threw away a bunch of stuff. And now I thought, just because it was in German, doesn't mean I should have thrown it away. But you know, when you move, sometimes you do dumb stuff and throw away stuff that you later regret. So we know there's at least three heavens. The third heaven being the place where God dwells eternally. And one day, as Jerry pointed out, so will we. Isaiah 66:1. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. So do you think you can build a house for me? Do I need a place to rest? Where did Jesus come from? Heaven. The eternal abode of God. He is the only, I guess I can go ahead and say it, he was the only man who ever saw heaven and came and spoke about it. Now we do know Paul was apparently taken, he said, for 14 years, in the body or out of the body. He didn't know, but God knew. And he saw things. But you remember what the text also said? He was not allowed to tell about it or write about it. What he saw was to remain a mystery. So the only one who has ever gone up to heaven is the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man, John 3:13. Or Ephesians 4:10, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Heaven is the eternal abode of God, and it shall be the eternal abode of the saints. 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that our body, the tent we live in here on earth, will be destroyed. But when this happens, God will have a house for us. It will not be a house made by human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever. For those of you who own houses, after a few years of owning a house, what are you going to have to start having to doing? Work. Why? It wears down because these materials are earthly. But God said, what you've got in store in heaven is eternal. That room that you have won't need to be fixed. Or as that one song says, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Well, there's going to be no repair cost because it's made of eternal stuff and not finite stuff. No one has ever been there to see it and talk about it outside of Jesus. I mentioned Paul visited there. And the Apostle John was given a vision of heaven, which we read about. But only those things that we know of heaven is what God has revealed in His Holy Script. Or has one of you been there, not mentioned it to us? We must rely on what God has told us. What is heaven like? Well, since no one has ever been there to tell us about it, we are dependent upon the Word of God. And remember what we read? Let me ask you. Is heaven really a city 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high? Can you imagine that wall? We don't know. Is that city truly made of what the Bible says? Streets of gold, so pure that they're clear. Walls or foundations made of jasper and other precious stones. Gates made of pearl. I guess that would mean that would have to be a 1,500 mile high pearl to get a gate to fit properly. And does it actually have a beautiful river flowing down the middle of it, the river of life? With the tree of life's bordering that river? I don't know. I do know that Revelation is a book that tends to use pictures and thoughts for us humans to understand. Sometimes God must describe things so we understood. You know, understand, a lot of people ask me, what did Germany look like? You know how hard that is to explain? I'm sure, Bert, what is the mountains of I almost said Hawaii, but it's Wyoming you're from. Could you do justice to describe the beauty of the Rocky Mountains? Or has anyone ever been to the Grand Canyon? I haven't. But could you explain it so I could truly understand what it looks like? Do you think John and his vision really could describe heaven so we would understand it? I think he tried. And he tried by using the most precious things we can think of. Can you imagine 441 being paved in pure gold? Wow. Or you know, the foundation of your house being made from precious stones. But we have been given imagery to show us heaven is beyond your imagination, more precious than you could ever think of. You know, they had Jerusalem, and I've seen pictures of models of Jerusalem, but Jerusalem must have been quite impressive. The Jews bragged on it, even in the New Testament. They bragged on the beauty and the modernity of Jerusalem at that time. But John says, heaven, the vision I had of heaven, wow. And he explained it the best he could. One day we're going to know if it's actually 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles wide. I still want to see that pearl. But the whole thought is, heaven is going to be wonderful. Beyond description. What excites me about heaven, and now I come back to Jerry, is that it will be my eternal home. I will no longer be a foreigner or a sojourner. I will be home with my heavenly Father and with my older brother. That's what Jesus is. He's our older brother. And with all of the redeemed from the beginning of time. So that means Moses and Elijah. Some of these great prophets of old who I would love to meet because of what they did despite the difficulties. Or Peter. I'd love to know what it's like to walk on water. Even though he sank, he did walk on water. Or Paul, how could you take what you took? All those beatings and shipwrecks and going hungry. And he said he fought lions with his bare hands. I mean, I don't imagine Paul being a Rambo or something along that lines. But he fought lions with his bare hands, the Bible said. And it is important for us to understand that nothing unclean or dirty shall enter into heaven. I'm sure my wife is happy, no more dirty clothes. That dirty clothes hamper will always be empty. There will be no sexual, I'm going to go ahead and say it, perverts in heaven. There'll be no murderers in heaven. The Bible says there's not even going to be any liars in heaven. Don't worry. You're forgiven, liars. Unless, unlike me, you haven't lied at some point in your life. Listen to this. Revelation 21:8. But cowards, that's listed. Those who refuse to believe, all those people who don't want to believe in Jesus are mentioned. Who do evil things, who kill, who sin sexually, who do evil magic, who worship idols, and who tell lies. These people will not be in heaven. And those who are citizens will have their clothes washed pure white by the blood of the Lamb. No soap on earth can get our clothes pure white for heaven. I don't know about you, but I am more than pleased to read and to hear that in heaven there will be no sickness, that there will be no sorrow or dying there. Peoples whose lives have been filled with pain and sorrow have every right to look forward to a place where it no longer exists. I don't know about you, but I have had my fill of such things, and I'm younger than most of you. Sorry, Lee. Sorry, Keith. Oh, and Gladys. There's a few others. You can call it pie-in-the-sky religion if you want, and many do. But I am thankful that one day there is a place I can go where these things do not exist. There is another question that I have often been asked, and I'll answer it the best I can. Will we know each other in heaven? Fair question, is it not? For everyone who has lost a loved one, this is an important question. And I would love to see my mother again, and honestly, I think I will one day. Yes, I believe the Bible teaches that we will retain our identity and our personality by which we have been known and identified here on earth. The Bible says that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were gathered together where? Well, with their people, with their forefathers. David believed that he would see the child who died at birth, that child that shouldn't have been when he met up with Bathsheba. Remember what he said in 2 Samuel 12:23 after that child passed away? But now that the baby is dead, why should I go without food? I can't bring him back to life. Good wisdom. Someday I will go to him, but he cannot come back to me. David believed that he would see that baby one day. The apostles, and I always wondered about this, the apostles, at least Peter, James, and John, who were on the Mount of Transfiguration, they recognized who? Moses and Elijah. Had they ever met Moses and Elijah? Well, not old enough. Their name tags. You know, heaven the saint, Moses. But they recognize Moses and Elijah. So all these things lead me to believe that yes, we will recognize one another, however that may be. What about these bodies? All I know is the Bible says that we will be transfigured in the blink of an eye, those who are left alive. We will be given a new spiritual body that is like our Master's, like Jesus. The Bible teaches that flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. So what do I know? Flesh and blood as we know it in our body won't be. But God has promised us a new body. What it will be, I do not know. I know, though, it will be a good one because my Master will have the same. And I can't imagine Jesus not having a perfect body. But God has promised us a new body. And so I believe we will recognize one another in heaven. Charlie, there's not going to be any probably Chinese restaurant up there or Japanese restaurant. You'll have to find somewhere else to go eat. Will we need to go eat? I doubt it. A spiritual body? So it doesn't matter if Lampoo is there or not. But this brings up another question. And a tougher question. I've been asked, and I'm sure others have, how can we be happy in heaven if we know that loved ones and friends aren't going to be there? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you happy now, knowing that loved ones aren't there? Are you happy now, knowing that loved ones might not be there? All I know is that my God promised me that I would be happy in heaven. That it will be a happy place. And I believe my God. I believe His promise. I don't want to miss heaven. I hope I go there. I'm working at it. Not very good sometimes, but I am working at it. I want more than anything else in the whole world to be able to enter heaven when the time comes. I don't know when that may be. And I must say, I have made going to heaven the ultimate goal of my life. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a made-up story. It's not real, but I'm hoping it will make you understand this thought. A certain father had a son who was nearing the age that he would be leaving home and going out on his own. So he thought it was time to have a father-son talk. "Son," he asked, "what are your complete plans for the future?" "You mean my whole life?" "Yes," said the father. "Well, when I get my degree, I am going to take that engineering job that I have been offered." The father, "Good. What then?" "Well, then Sue and I will get married, as we have planned." "Fine. Sue is a wonderful girl. What then?" "If all goes well, I should get a promotion, and then we can afford to buy a house where we can raise our children." "Yes, and what then?" "Well, Sue and I plan to have 3 children, 2 boys and a girl." The father smiled. "What then?" "I figure we'll set up a college plan and put our kids through school. Once that has been done, I would like to save toward a trip around the world." "Sounds exciting. What then?" "I'm hoping that I will be offered a partnership in the company." "What then?" asked the father. "I guess that's about it. If I can do all these things, I figure I will just about have made it. Then we can settle back and enjoy grandchildren." "But what then?" insisted the father. "What do you mean, Dad? That will be about it. What more do you expect?" "Well, son, if your hopes and dreams materialize strictly along those lines, you'll have missed the greatest blessing of all." The son was puzzled, taken back. "Son, if you miss going to heaven, you will have missed it all." Is heaven in your plans? Have you made it the priority of your life to go to heaven? If you have not, your priorities are wrong. Because what does the Bible teach about all material things? They will be destroyed. They will rot. They will burn up at the end of time. That means everything you worked for would be gone. Unless your ultimate goal, the work of your life, is to get to heaven. If that is your goal, I pray that it will happen. Be saved today. Wash away your sins in baptism and strive for a life in Christ. The Father has promised such that heaven would be their home. Make it your priority this night. And if you need our help, if you need to wash away your sins, then come as we stand and sing.